Hello guys, this is Firefly and welcome to the third episode of The Strange Life of a Brown-Skinned Girl. Yes, I know it has been over a month since my last episode. What do I say? I have had to juggle between a lot of work deadlines and also some personal engagements. Not to mention that my motivation was pretty much on an all-time low. But now I'm finally back with the third episode titled The Bleeding Demons. Could you make a guess on what it is about? Well, it happens to be one of my favorite topics to talk about and something that perhaps makes both brown men and women uncomfortable. Well, yes, one answer could definitely be patriarchy, but this episode, it's not about that. Although there's reason to believe that this issue is basically a direct or an indirect result of patriarchy too. So what am I going to talk about? It's about bleeding demons, aka women in periods. And no, don't get me wrong, I do not think that menstruating women are demons. But apparently, that's what most of India likes to believe through its traditions. So let's see why and how. See, let's face it, periods are tough for everyone, not just brown girls. From the unexplained mood swings and random cravings to horribly painful cramps and feeling icky and strange all the time, periods are the most dreaded few days of every month in a girl's life. And not to mention the irony that not getting periods is actually even worse than getting one. Ugh, I wish life was easier. But you know what makes it more tough? When you're on periods and your freedom is snatched away from you and it's even more restricted than it already is. And that's exactly what menstruation feels like for many, if not most, Indian women. Even amongst the Western population, periods can be an uncomfortable topic for men. But in India, it is a taboo. It's a topic banned for public, especially in front of the male population. It is supposed to be so discreet that a leading brand that sells sanitary napkins and tampons in India is called Whisper. And funnily, although it is such an uncomfortable topic, you know what happens in many families when a girl hits puberty? It is celebrated. And I don't mean, oh, congrats, you're a big girl, let's have a good dinner kind of a celebration. It's a let's invite over 100 guests over and do some rituals and serve them food and let them basically know that you hit puberty kind of celebration. And this guest list also, of course, includes men. Talk about double standards. To be fair, this is not practiced in many Indian families. It is most prevalent in the southern states of India and is pretty much a tradition in my family as well. So when I hit puberty, I remember pleading my parents not to make a huge fuss about it. Part of it was because I was perhaps too embarrassed. After all, I had been taught that this was a topic that was only between my mom and me and nobody else. But the other part was because I was kind of a rebel even as a kid and a teenager, and I didn't support ritualistic practices without a good reason. It felt like this tradition was meant to be a declaration to the male population that a girl could now be pregnant, so grab her if you want. And given that child marriage was actually a norm in India up until a few decades ago, most women were married off soon after they hit puberty anyway. So which is why this tradition made all the more sense to me. And I decided that it was not what I needed. And luckily, my parents weren't too fussy about it. And they understood where I was coming from. and they let it go. So I didn't have such a kind of celebration for hitting on puberty. But let's say that many people that I know had to go through it. They might have liked it. It's not a problem. I certainly didn't. So there are many myths involving periods in India. The most important one is that menstruation is dirty and impure. And so are women during this time. And because of this, women are not allowed to do basic tasks at home while menstruating. For example, in some families that I know, if a girl realizes that she's on her period, she must immediately take a shower and wash her hair, after which she has to separate herself from everyone else. By separate herself, I mean that she becomes an untouchable. She isn't to touch anyone or sit on the sofa where everyone sits or even use the same bed for sleeping. They have to use different sheets and they have to wash their sheets every day so that it doesn't become dirty. They aren't allowed to cook. Some are not even allowed to go out of their homes. Especially to places of worship, everybody who is menstruating is banned. Now, I believe that this restriction from visiting temples exists primarily in Hindu families, but I wouldn't be surprised if other religions practiced it as well. How ridiculous does this sound, right? What's even more strange is that some girls and women are not allowed to touch pickles or curd during these periods because apparently people believe that menstruating women cause any preserved food to turn bad. Insert a big sarcastic LOL at this point, please. I honestly don't know why the hell people believe in these things even in the 21st century. I believe that some of these customs made sense back in those years when there weren't many hygiene practices to be followed, when there were no sanitary napkins and women had to bleed through. It made sense that they didn't want to cause a lot of cleanliness issues if they were to walk around everywhere bleeding. So they stayed put in a single place and avoided strenuous activities. But our world has changed so much since the early man days, and we have to accept that. We have all the technology we want in this world right now. We have come to a point where we have figured out ways to be as comfortable as possible during periods. And our hygiene practices have improved drastically. The worst thing that you can do during your period right now is to perhaps stain your pants and sheets with a little blood. And no, it is not yuck and dirty. Even if you stain them, it's okay. It's a part of life that everyone must accept. I was arguing about these practices a few days ago with a few friends, mostly male. And unfortunately, it seemed that they thought they knew better about women's periods than women themselves. In their perspective, these restrictions are placed on women so that a woman doesn't have to feel exhausted doing all the work. And it would be a break from her otherwise horrible routine to just rest in a lonely corner of her home. What they fail to understand is that when I tried to explain that it was a woman's choice to decide if she wants to work her ass off or sleep like a baby, and they do not have any say in that. Every individual female has their own response to periods. Some have it really painful, some have it really mild. Some have such a heavy flow that they have to change their pads every couple of hours, and some have it incredibly light. Some have mood swings worse than others. Some want to sleep all day. And some probably want to keep themselves busy and distract themselves from all those cramps that they have by working or doing other random things. How hard is it to understand the simple concept of freedom or a simple concept of choice? And unfortunately, These restrictions come from the 21st century educated men as well as women who supposedly studied reproduction in school but know nothing. Well, it makes sense because sex education is basically just another joke and requires a whole new episode, perhaps. This section is to highlight the narrow-mindedness of the Indian population. And this perhaps is also related to what we as kids were taught and what we pass off to the next generation without overcoming our mindsets. And periods are a great example to highlight this kind of behavior. I am very lucky, in fact, that I was born to a more liberal, open family that weren't as wary of things that bothered most Orthodox Indian families. So I was taught about periods by my mom at a very young age, and I felt comfortable with the idea of bleeding without being made to believe that it was something I needed to be ashamed of. Even then, because of the kind of environment I was in, it did affect me, and I thought that periods were embarrassing, and I didn't actually share with anybody about my periods or my experiences, including my own family. But even as daughters are taught about periods, either by their parents or by their experiences, because of course you have to know about period when you hit puberty, right? Sons are often not aware of what menstruation even is. I remember how adverts of sanitary napkins popped on a television from time to time, and my teenage brother curiously asked my mom what those things are, and my mom would quickly divert the topic or just tell him he didn't need to know because he was too young for it. And she was perhaps embarrassed to talk about this with my brother. And I feel that if men aren't taught basic female anatomy or natural processes such as menstruation, how can women expect them to understand and empathize with our struggles related to periods? So, as we all know, girls hit puberty much before boys do. And even amongst girls, I was one of the early boomers. So when I knew and experienced menstruation, most girls of my age didn't know what it is. Unfortunately, things happen and you forget your date and accidentally miss bringing your pads or tampons to school. And in such situations, what you need is help from your female classmates that can lend you these things. And unfortunately, I didn't have that luxury in the first couple of years. However, I did have one friend who also hit puberty around the same time, so we were always there for each other. I remember this one incident when this friend of mine and another male classmate were fighting about something, and he decided that he could get back to her by ravaging through her backpack, and he happened to find this sanitary pad in her bag, hidden somewhere. He immediately felt curious on what it is and began to unwrap it as my friend and I, flustered with faces completely gone red, were trying to snatch it back from him. The whole classroom was a circus at this point. Some boys understanding and giggling in the corner, some utterly clueless and bugging us, asking us what it exactly is. And girls also didn't know what exactly was it and were very clueless. Some boys actually understood that it was from those whisper ads that came on TV. And they started making fun of her for using adult diapers. My friend and I, we are so embarrassed that we avoided any eye contact for the next few minutes and snatched that sanitary napkin from him and rushed out of the classroom. And when we went to the washroom and I was trying to console her, she was my friend, she was crying bonkers because she thought that she was discovered doing something unethical. So the whole fiasco could have just been avoided if each one of us in the class were taught was what menstruation is at a very young age, and if we were made aware that it's just a very normal biological process like breathing. It would have even been better if we, my friend and I especially, weren't made to believe that it was anything to be made fun of or ashamed of. And this can all stop here with our generation. We are the ones that need to bring the change. If we can become more aware of how beautiful menstruation is and how it is vital in the process of giving birth. Menstruation is basically the celebration of womanhood and humanity. After all, periods are what we deal with every single month so that we can bring new offsprings into this world. And none of us would exist if not for this phenomenon. So it really isn't that hard to respect it rather than calling it impure or dirty. At this point, I would actually like to highlight that Hinduism as such is not really as problematic as the culture is. We in fact have a goddess called Kamakhya Devi, who is known as the menstruating goddess or the goddess of desire. So menstruation, vagina, the womb, they're all equally respected in Hinduism. If only we ever practiced the raw form of religion as it is and not the age-old traditions that kept passing on from generation to generation in the most distorted form possible. And this would make a huge difference to the kind of society we live in. So this is it for the episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening to me, and hopefully you learned something new or were even able to relate with what I said. As you know, this podcast is available on multiple platforms like Spotify, Anchor, and Google Podcasts. Do share it with your friends and people who may like me. And don't forget to hit a follow and shower me with some appreciation wherever possible. Another episode coming to you soon, and until then, bye-bye.